Acts chapter 3, first 10 verses. I'm going to be reading from a different Bible version that's Good News for Modern Man. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour for prayers. There, at the beautiful gate, as it was called, was a man who had been lame all his life. Every day he was carried to this gate to beg for money from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John going in, he begged them to give them something. They looked straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." So he looked at them, expecting to get something from them. Peter said to him, "I have no money at all, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you to walk." Then he took him by his right hand and helped him up. At once the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and started walking around. Then he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. The whole crowd saw him walking and praising God. And when they recognized him as the beggar who sat at the temple's beautiful gate, they were all filled with surprise and amazement at what had happened to him. The Word of God.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I just want to say thank you for the privilege of preaching. After doing it for 28 years in the Air Force and you suddenly retire, you really do take these chances and covet them in your heart. So I hope we'll be a blessing to each other today. It just broke your heart to look at him. And few people did. He was a beggar, crippled from birth, few friends, no social life. Humiliation and pain were ingredients in his daily diet. The only compassion he ever received was from those people who were walking up to the temple to worship. They'd look at him and maybe have a little pity on him, and they'd walk over and drop a coin or two into his beggar's bowl. If bad breaks in misery were rock and roll, the beggar certainly would have been Elvis. On this day in biblical history, he was crushed when he was told, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I will share with you in the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, he was telling the beggar, "We may not have what you want, but in Jesus Christ we have what you need." And I think we need to hear that from time to time. We want so many things, and yet all we really need is Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. Max Lucado, in his book, Outlive Your Life, reminds us that it's a difficult thing to look into the face of true suffering. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes when we're channel surfing with the TV remote, and we all do it, we come across a program or sometimes just a commercial that has an instant effect on us. And almost without realizing it, our thumb begins to twitch. "I've got to change channels, any channel but this one. Please, dear God, don't make me look at those little starving children in Africa. Children with their bloated tummies, their dark eyes, shallow breathing. Children whose only crime in this world was to be born into a family of abject poverty. Children whose parents have to decide which child will be fed that day." We can't say, Kirkwood, "Silver or gold have I none," because it wouldn't be true. We all have some money, probably bank accounts, savings. And so we can't say, I can't help you because I don't have the means to do it. We need to listen to the mandate of our Lord, "Feed the hungry, tend my lambs. For inasmuch as you do it for any one of these, you do it for me." So the beggar sits. And the beggar waits. When I was serving in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, I visited our base hospital every day that I wasn't deployed. And we had a special ward in that hospital for those who were Allied Americans, the Thais, the Laotians, anybody who fought for freedom in that area. And it was very difficult for me to go into that ward, because one time I would go in and there would be a young man with no arms or no legs or just a catastrophic wound. These people may have been too young to vote, but they weren't too young to die. And many did while I was over there. Etched into my memory forever was the night our base was hit by the Viet Cong. Our security posts were about 100 yards from each other. One would have a Thai guard in it, and the next one an American security policeman. And very early in the morning, while it was still dark, the Thai guard noticed a movement on the perimeter road, movement that should not have been there. And he picked up his handheld radio, and he was in the process of calling in the SAT team when the enemy shot him through his radio and into his temple. And as he was falling, he released his canine, and the dog was trained to go to the next post. And I believe he saved many lives that night by that action. Somewhere in my possession, probably in the dusty box in the attic, there's a photograph and an article that was in our base newspaper shortly after the attack. And in that picture, you can tell this is a little boy, and he's wearing what was his father's tiger-striped camo uniform. It just swallowed him up. And if you look closely at that picture, you could see he was fighting back a tear as he was holding his father's Bronze Star for valor. All over the world today, there are widows and orphans that we need to help. Now, I mentioned that it was really difficult for me to visit that ward in the hospital. To tell you the truth, I wanted to be somewhere else. I wanted to change the channel on their pain. I wanted God to give them forever healing. Look at us, not through us. You may be aware of a scripture of Simon the Pharisee. He was disdaining Jesus, calling him on the carpet. And all Jesus did was help a poor woman who maybe had a questionable past. And as he often did as a teaching tool, Jesus said, "Simon, do you see this woman? In other words, is she invisible to you? Can you understand her pain?" Sometimes we don't want to look pain in the eye because we don't feel like we can make any difference. But is that really true? What if some small act by you could ease another person's life? I'm going to get personal now. 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, as was my father before me. And as you know, it's a disease that affects the brain because there's not enough dopamine being produced. And when that happens, sometimes your hands will tremor or your head may move in an unusual way. For me, it's affected my handwriting. Despite my best effort, I can write only very small. Sometimes there's pain in your legs. Your balance is affected. But you know, 15 years and all this time, not once did I ever have to say, "Look at me. Help me if you can." You know why that is? Because so many people in this church have looked at me. And you could see that I may have needed some help getting up out of a chair. Or perhaps I was taking my plate of food over to sit down in the fellowship hall. And because of the tremor, some of the food might fall off. Without an invitation, one of you would suddenly be by my side. And you gently take this plate and set it down where I was going to be eating. I can't tell you how embarrassing that used to be for me, a grown man. But I'm not embarrassed anymore, because I believe God put us on this earth to help one another. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I just wanted to pause this morning and say thanks to so many of you who have helped me, who have been my heroes with small things. I sat down one night and thought about it, and This is where I got the list of names. You all know them. You all know who you are. And if I miss somebody, I'm sorry. Rich Edged, Roger Crone, Steve Hudgens, Don Nelson, Bob Pregler, Arbor Williamson, Kirk Reno, Jerry Deaton, Mike Ford, Lou Goodman, Barbara Ball, Hugh Parker, and Jim Goodes. You are in my Friendship Hall of Fame. And like the disciples, you reached out a hand that's stronger than any I'll ever have. And for a few precious seconds, you gave me dignity and the gift of your strength. And I love you for it. Journey with me to the end of our story. It's a marvelous, marvelous closure. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, wait for it, I command you, rise up and walk. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? The Bible says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. I think this is so cool that the first thing that cured man did was go to church. And he went with two men who had introduced him to the power of God. Now, anytime you have a miracle going on like that, it's bound to draw a crowd, and it did on this occasion. We don't know it, but the Bible doesn't say specifically, but I imagine there were other people who were healed that day. I want to walk. Touch me. Touch me like you did him. I want to see. I want to dance. When I read scripture, I like to read three or four verses or sometimes a whole chapter. And then I close my eyes and I try to envision what unfolded and how it would be to have seen it. Can't you just see the crowd? The confusion by some that saw him there every day in the same spot. Wasn't he the cripple? Yes, it's the same man. You mean to tell me an hour ago he couldn't walk? And now he's over there doing jumping jacks. What Jesus did for this poor man's legs, he can do for our souls. So, Kirkwood, let's be the people who stop at the gate and help where we can. Let's look at the hurting until we hurt with them. No turning away, no averting your eyesight, no changing the channels. Let's look at the face until we see the person. God bless you and amen.